God will
Lost Talk Radio.
You got one
time.
We lift you high. We lift you high.
Thank you. I made it all. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We are here again today. I have to go hopefully at 1:30, but hopefully the gentleman will call and say postpone to another day because it's pouring down rain outside. We thank the Lord. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We bless you. We honor you and we magnify your name. Thank you for the rain that we are getting even right now. There's some places in the world that would love to see just one drop. We are getting many. And we thank you, Lord. We are not complaining. We are excited because we have rain. The fruit trees are going to bear. The vegetation is going to come up and bloom. We have our pineapple plants are growing really nice in my garden. I was looking at them and all of my other vegetation is doing well. So, Father, we just thank you this morning. We ask, oh God, that you continue to bless us. Bless us with supernatural favor in the natural and in the spiritual realm. We pray, Father God, for this word that we are about to release today, that it would be a word that would bring change to the body of believers. Oh God, we love you so much because you first love us. We ask you, O God, that you allow us to hear, see, and receive what you, thus says the Lord, today. O God, we decrease that you might increase. Father, we bless your holy name. We bless your holy name, Jesus. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. There's no one higher than you. Jesus, we adore you. We adore you, King Jesus. Come in our midst and have your way. Come in our midst. We invite you this morning to come. Come by your mighty power and do what only you can do. Bring change, God. Lord, we thank you. Bring unity, Lord God, in the body of believers. We ask you, Lord Jesus, even right now. Even now, Lord. Lord, show up in the midst right now. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome your presence even right now. This morning, we are going to be talking about the lukewarm church. The lukewarm church. And we know this because God says so. God said the church is lukewarm. Sometimes you hear people, if you say something like this, they will get mad with you. I'm saying, how can you say the church is lukewarm? How can you say the church is don't have power? Well, God says so. God say that they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. They are. They deny the power of God. You know, they act like they have the power, but they don't have the power. Because if they had the power, you have people performing a lot of antics, acts they're putting on, and they're throwing the towel over the congregation, and they're throwing the jacket, the scarf and all this stuff, and people falling down. They got pastors that walk in and jerking and they have the Kundalini spirit, and people just pass, the pastor pass by them, and they can't stop jerking. But why don't these pastors, if they got so much power, why don't they even take the time and go down to the hospital? They're professing they have power, but they don't have any. Go down to the hospital. Go down to the nursing home. Go down to the crazy house where people, men and women, are losing their minds. Go down to the crack house. Go down to Skid Row where the people have the needles in their hand and the blood is running down their forearm. Go down there. Go down there and pray for those people. Pray for them. Pray for them. That God will deliver them because you have the power. You have the power. You see, you have the power. Go down there and pray. But no, they don't go. They only have the people that they have inside the building that they have like robots following them in every antic that they do, but they don't have any power. Even the people in the church can't receive healing because there's no power. You know, there's no power. And God said we have to come to him for this power. We got to seek him first, his righteousness. All these things would be added unto us. This is what God says. Who are we seeking? What are we seeking? Are we seeking God? Are we seeking him for the power? This morning we want to go into the book of Revelation chapter 3. I trying to get this at a computer set up here so I can go to different books on that computer fast. Hallelujah, Jesus. We got time though. Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us, King Jesus, to get in and get out, Lord. Help us to get in so that we can do what needs to be done. Hallelujah. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are Alpha and Omega, Jesus. We bless your name today. And every day we bless your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. Jesus, we praise your name. Jesus, we praise your name. Hallelujah. In the book of Revelation chapter 3. The Bible says, let me see who I got. Jeff. When the computer's active, you have to go back to the hard copy. Revelation chapter 3. And let's start at verse 15. We're talking about the lukewarm church. And Jesus is speaking here in this book. Hallelujah. He is speaking in this book. Here he speaks here, chapter 3, beginning at verse 15. It's where we want to start. Really, if you want to do all the churches, you can start at chapter 2. But we want to do this part of the sermon that we were looking at on this morning. Chapter 3 of Revelation, verse 15. So hast thou also then that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, thing I hate. He said, repent, or else I will come unto you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. This is Jesus speaking. He said, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. The sword of his mouth is the word. The word. Jesus said so, that we must repent. The church must repent. He is dealing with the church. People who are supposed to be saved and sanctified. This is who he's dealing with. You know, folk today in the church, in the house of the Lord, you can't talk to them. You talk, and you're talking about repentance and all this stuff, and you're talking about sin. They'll get mad with you, who you think you are. And they will challenge you because they don't want the truth. You see how the world is going upside down? Look at the United States of America, a country that most people were so crazy about. But now people are running. They're leaving states and going to other places. And so some states are becoming so corrupt that they're trying to go somewhere. People are going back to the country. They're going way out there where they wouldn't make no money. They're leaving big cities where they were making plenty of money and going to little cities where they're making hardly making anything. Crime and the corruption that is in the big cities. But it seems like it's everywhere. It's not only in the big city. It's in the small city too. It's everywhere. It's not only in the common places in the church. Also, it's corruption everywhere. And he said, Jesus says, this Jesus speaking. I mean, you can do this. I mean, if you really want to work this, you can work from chapter 2 all the way and start at Ephesus. But we want to talk, this release is part of the scripture that the Lord allows us to look at and dissect for a little bit. He allows us to look at this. And here, he said to them, to the church, in your Bible, it's red. In mine, it's red. Jesus is speaking. It means Jesus is speaking. He says, repent and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Do you hear what the Lord is saying? Lord has given us, the church, an opportunity to come to a place of repentance, a place where he can refresh them. Hallelujah. But we are too stubborn. We are stiff-necked. We are hard-hearted. We believe that we have it together. We got it all together. Don't tell me what to do because I know what to do. Who are you to tell me what to do? This is how we respond. We are not humble. Nobody can speak to us. We got it all together. We're talking about the lukewarm church. Believe that they have it, but they don't. Glory to God. He says, he that have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receiveth it. No one knoweth except he that receiveth. Well, we know the Lord knows, but no man, no other human being know the name except the one that received the stone and the one who gave. He says, verse 18 says, and to the angel of the church of Thyatira, write these things, saith the Son of God, who have the eyes, have his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. He says, I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. He said, notwithstanding, perhaps I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce all my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, God himself is looking down from heaven. He is looking down from his throne room, and he is seeing that some of these leaders are allowing some folk to come into church and preach and teach. And they have a seductive spirit or seducing spirit. Hallelujah. They're not living holy. They're not following the commands of God. Hallelujah. Men, we've got some men too, because some men are just like Jezebel. Jezebel is a spirit. It's not just, she's a woman here in the book, but it's really a spirit. Jezebel is a spirit. And if you have a lot of men that have this same spirit, this conniving, this deceptive spirit in them, in the church. Some of them are bishops, some of the prophets, some of the apostles, some are evangelists, some are teachers, pastors. They have this spirit, a spirit of deception. And God says it's in the church. This is why he said this lukewarm. They don't have the power. They have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power they have. He says now, and I give her space to repent of her fornication, and she repent not. Behold, I will cast her in a bed, and then that them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. This is the scripture. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 to 22. You can start at verse chapter 2 and start from the church Ephesus, but we didn't want to go there. This is what the Lord wanted us to talk about. It's so important that we understand that we as believers or leaders or ambassadors to the kingdom, that we must have a humble spirit. We must have a mindset to repent. None of us are perfect. This morning I heard this in my spirit. He says, none of you are perfect. Only I am perfect. This is what God says. This is what he spoke to me this morning. None of you are perfect. Only I am perfect. We are striving for perfection. God is perfecting us every day. Every day he's making us a little better than yesterday. Those of us that are humble and those of us that are submitted to him and commit to his way of living, he is perfecting us, but we're not perfect. We are still subject to fall. We are still subject to sinning. We are still subject to doing the things that don't give God glory. This is why we have to stay under the blood all the time. 24/7, we have to be under the blood. How do you stand under the blood? Stay in the word of God. Allow the word of God to lead and guide you. This is how you stay under the blood. You don't put the word of God on the shelf and just pick it up on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or Thursday night or Saturday morning, whenever you choose to. You have to keep the word of God before your face. It's got to be a pamphlet before your face. The Israelites used to write it and put it on their arm. They should put it in a little band around their head, on their forehead. They keep the word before them. Now they have what they call a mezuzah. It's on the front door. And then on the front door, it's on the doorpost. And when you open it, it has the scripture, some Old Testament scripture inside of it. They keep it before them all the time. They remember to remind them that God is the one who brought them out of Egypt. Hallelujah. Once we feel like we're out of Egypt, we forget all about who brought us out of Egypt. Egypt may be wherever, whatever vice that you were connected with, Maybe it was being a lesbian, being a homosexual, being a thief, being a gangbanger, being a dope pusher, or whatever, a conniver, whatever your vice was, that's your Egypt. And God has led us out of Egypt. Apostle Stewart, I want to tell you, I sent you a text this morning. You called me yesterday, but I was out cold. I was out cold. By the time I wake up somewhere after 9:30 last night, I wasn't going to call you. So I didn't get the message from your son that you wanted me to listen to it and get it. I know the last one I got before was very, very good. I mean, your message is always good anyway, but I didn't get the one that you said he was sent. So maybe he'll send it. He'll send it again. Sometimes the computers that don't come true, you know, satellite system, but maybe he has sent to it. Let us go over and look at the book of, Jesus, Revelations chapter 22. Revelations chapter 22. Understand what God is saying to us today. Either we are going to be hot. I have a whole sermon in my folder down here. I have it in my computer on this lukewarm church. But I just want to teach out of the word. Let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us. Let him speak to us. Revelations chapter 22. Let him speak to us through the word. Nothing that David is trying to write up, hear what he heard and put on the paper and then talk it back. Let's just go out of the word. We're talking about the lukewarm church. Here in this book, John is writing. He says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner, yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for healing of the nation. You can say the twelve trees represent the 12 tribes of Israel, or the 12 apostles. So that's the leaves of this tree is for the healing of the nations. Now, we are the church of the living God. This substance, this healing virtue from the trees should be on us, should be in us. We should be able to allow this manifestation of healing should flow through us. We can say that we are the trees of God. But he says here, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. He came to serve us. Now we come, we'll get to a point where we will serve him. Even though on the earth we're not just serving the people, we're serving God by serving. Sometimes we get so big or think that we're so big, we don't want to serve. I watch some of these leaders, they can't even carry their iPad. They can't carry their notebook. I've seen some of them. They have an armor bear. It's always right, all right. But they can't carry because they're so highfalutin. They're so, I can't say the word, put themselves so high and push their chest, walk and shake their head like they're all that. He said, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. See, now you already know, you're going to know that you belong to him. You're going to have the stamp. See, we know without a shadow of doubt, those of us that have, as I said, committed and submitted to Christ Jesus, we know that we belong to him. But the time is coming where we're going to know for sure, because we're going to have the stamp of God on us. We're going to have the stamp. His name is going to be imprinted on us. Hallelujah. If we live for that to happen. And there shall be no night there. And there no need candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants things which must shortly be done. John is writing, penning this thing as the scribe for us to have knowledge of. Behold, Jesus said, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy of the book, this book. And I, John, saw these and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then says he unto me, the angel said to John, see, thou do it not, don't bow to me, don't worship me, for I am thy fellow servant. I'm a servant just like you. And of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. It is so important. Using that word, it's so important because a lot of times we see people to get to the place, they're bishops, they call themselves archbishop, chief apostle, they are prophets and all the prophetess and evangelists and pastors and teachers, and they will have the armor bearers and people worshiping them, bowing to them. And, I mean, this is the way that, of Africa, you know, they bow to the preacher, kiss the preacher hand, all that kind of stuff. I told him when I was in Africa, no, don't do that. I said, no, Apostle, this is our custom. I said, well, you can do your custom with other preachers from Africa, but for me, I haven't gone to that place yet. I haven't gone to that place. My God's the only one that high that you should bow to. I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. But they bow, and they kiss the pastor hand, kiss the bishop hand, and all the stuff. I don't need that stuff. Recognize that I'm a servant, came here all this way to preach, to serve you, and that's about it. He says, the angel told him, don't bow. Don't bow. Hallelujah. Then said he unto me, see if thou do it not, for I am a fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He said, look, don't hide this. Don't hide the saying of this book. That's what he said. Don't seal. Do not seal the sayings of this book. We have to preach revelation. We have to teach revelation. We have to declare the book of Revelation, the whole book from Genesis to Revelation. We have to declare the books, these books. Because they have knowledge, wisdom and knowledge for the people to live holy. We have to teach about sin, what sinning costs. If they continue to sin, they shall die. We have to preach this thing. But no, we said, no, I want to tell you, God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to have this, God. God wants you to have that. This. Nobody's saying God wants you to be holy because he's holy. I've been many places. Very few preachers would talk about holiness. Or even talk about sin. Because they're afraid if they preach about sin or holiness, folk are not going to come back to the house. Because they want to hear they're going to get a husband. I've been praying for a husband for so long. Pastor, when am I going to get my husband? I've been praying for a wife for so long. When am I going to get my wife? They want to hear all that stuff. That stuff that don't mean a hell of beans. You get the wife in 6 months, 8 months down the road, you want a divorce. You get the husband. 6 months, 18 months, you want to leave because you haven't got it through Christ Jesus. You got it through your flesh, your desire, your lustful feeling, thinking that you want to have somebody to sleep with, not somebody to grow with in Christ Jesus. You say, God, bless me, Lord, with a man that loves you. Bless me with a woman that loves you, Lord. that we can grow in the things of God. We can study together. We can pray together. We can fast together. You get folk that as soon as they get with you, they want you don't go to church. Don't go to church. They start telling you don't go to church because they're used to the club. He wants to go to the club. He's a clubber. She's a clubber. Can't wait till Friday get here. Get home, get their nails done, get their hair done. He goes to the barber shop, get his hair blocked. Get his hair blocked, you know, get a trim and a shave and go to the barber shop because he's getting ready to go to the club. You want a woman, you want a man that serves, that loves the Lord. That's the kind of man you want. You pray for that man. Don't go, I'm going to church. I want the pastor to pray for me to get a man. I want the pastor to pray for me to get a wife. Pray for God to send a woman that loves him, will do anything for him. He is her number one priority. Pray for a man that God is their number one priority. And then you'll have a marriage. Because God, he'll be the one in the center of the marriage. Here in the book of Revelation, he says, this was so powerful as I was studying this. Good to go back over the scriptures because he showed you stuff that blesses you. He said, and he said, verse 10, chapter 22, and he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. What is he saying to you? You have to release this thing out of your spirit, man, because things are going to happen. Things are about to happen in this earth realm. See, a lot of times we're talking and seeing all the stuff that we've seen and hear on YouTube, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Periscope, on Facebook. But what about saying what God is saying out of this book? Because this is a manuscript. This is the basic instructions before leaving earth. This is what it is. And if we are only sharing what we see on YouTube or Twitter or Instagram or Periscope or Facebook, guess what happened? We're leaving God's word instructions behind. We're leaving it behind. This is what's going to help people to convict people. I have some new people now that is hitting the line and downloading the messages. And one lady told me yesterday, she said that I am still in the word. I'm still listening to the message. She was telling me that how she enjoyed the message from yesterday. Because it was God's word. It wasn't David Callender. It was God's word. He said here in this book, this is what John is writing here to us, what the angel said to him, and he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Listen, a lot of people, I say, look at Elijah. You have folk that were saying that they were prophets and all this stuff. And they were coming against the man of God. We see this thing today. It's happening even right now in this earth right now. The same thing that was happening in time with Elijah and the prophets. It's happening today. They're coming against the church. They're coming against the preachers. And some of the preachers are compromising because they want to fit in with the world system. They want to fit in with all the stuff that's going on in the world instead of constantly, like he says here, that don't seal up this prophecy. Don't seal it up. He said, don't seal up the prophecies of this book. So we have to be releasing these in the midst of all the stuff that's going on. We still got to come on in from Revelation, from Genesis to Revelation. Release all the words. Hallelujah. Because it's the word that's going to convict people. It's going to let them know that when they go and they're doing the nasty, stinking, slimy stuff, that they've got to answer to God. There's no escape. There's no getting around your sinning. Because the Bible told us the soul that sinneth shall die. It shall die. It said here in chapter 20, it talks about the second revelation of the second death. Talks about it. That's a spiritual death. Hallelujah. So we have to, because a lot of people don't believe that, don't know that they're going to be in second death. People don't know that. They say, well, I only got one life to live, and I'm going to live it the way I want to live it, because when I'm dead, I'm dead. That's not true. That's not true. You're going to die flesh now, but then you're going to die spiritually. Hallelujah, because you're going to be condemned to the lake of fire and brimstone, where you're going to be tormented day and night. There's no peace, no joy. Day and night. We don't tell the people this. He says, if you're holy, be holy still. He said, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Oh, my God. To give every man according to his work shall be. Hear what Jesus is saying. This is not John speaking. No, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus lets you know that he's coming quickly. I always hear that. He's coming quickly. They said that he was coming quick. If somebody says, I'm going to do something quickly, that means they're going to do it fast, faster than fast, quicker than quick. Before you can snap your finger, they already have it done. They're not procrastinating. They're not sitting around thinking, well, how can I do this? When should I do this? No, they're doing it right away. Before you can wink your eye, it's already done. They're performing it. Jesus says, he's going to give every man according to his work shall be. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and they that may have right, that they might have the right to the tree of life, excuse me, and, hallelujah, may enter in through the gates, hero, into the city. But then he said this, that was so awesome. No, he didn't say one gate. He said gate, hero. See, if you keep the commandments, if you not only hearing the commandments, but if you keep the commandments, if you activate the commandments in your life, sometimes we find that it's difficult or it's hard for us because we want to still do keep up with the Joneses and the Jeffersons. We want to be partying. We want to be smoking. We want to be drinking. We want to be into the stupid, nasty, slimy talking. You know, all that talking that don't make no sense for your spirit. We want to be connected with them because they seem like they're having a good time. They're laughing and they're giggling and all this kind of stuff, but they're not really having a good time. They're empty. It's like having a wallet in your pocket. It's buzzing up, but it don't have no money in it. It's buzzing in your pocket. You're carrying a purse that look real good, look expensive, but you don't have a dime in it. That's the way you are. We said, Jesus, 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 but there's nothing inside to be in it. There's no anointing. There's no power. There's no glory in us. He said, you said, but how can I have the glory and the glory belongs to Christ alone? He said, no, but Father, the glory I had with you, I gave to them, that they will become one as we are one. You need the glory, not the reverence, the glory. See, a lot of us want to seek in the reverence. We want to be praised. We want to be have all these accolades. Like we all this in the Bible, this is the best quarter. But He gives you the glory so you can teach and preach, so you can become one. We'll have the power to declare and decree. You see, a lot of time we can't get along. You know why we don't get along? Let me tell you why we can't get along. Because we haven't received the glory. We haven't received the glory. Hallelujah. We're too busy trying to build our own self up and not receive from God so we can build up as a collective body of Christ. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about us. You're coming together to do the will of God. Listen to what he says. For without, that means outside of the body of Christ, are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Liars are outside. Hallelujah. They can't come through the gates. They can't come through the gates of eternal life. Hallelujah. Remember, he said that. They can't come through the gates. You can only come through the gate when you live a holy life, not a perfect life. God is not asking for perfection. He's asking for holiness. He's going to perfect you when you get there. Hallelujah. He's perfecting you every day. Every day he's perfecting you. He's taking you from glory to glory, from faith to faith, every day. But you're not as faithful as you ought to be. But each day he is raising up your faith to another, a greater rim. The glory is coming upon you on a greater rim. This is why you can tell that you're changing, that he's changing you, because a lot of times you can say you can't tolerate some stuff. And not that you hate the people, but you just can't tolerate some stuff. You just can't tolerate it. Why? Because you are. He has moved you. He has taken you to another realm, to another dimension. As some people say level, but there's no levels in the Bible. He takes you to another realm, another dimension in him. Hallelujah. So you say, I just can't tolerate this stuff. I really can't tolerate this stuff. Hold on a minute. Somebody's calling me here. Glory to God. That's somebody I got to do some work for. Hallelujah. So here, Jesus says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star, and the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that accursed say, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let us go to Revelations. Let us go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 20. I'm talking about the lukewarm church. The lukewarm church. And we only started at verse 15, chapter 3, verse 15 to verse 22. We didn't start at chapter 2, talking with the book of, talking from the church at Ephesus. Maybe next time we'll go there. But this is where the Lord wants us to come from this morning. So we just go as he leads us. I have a sermon that starts from chapter 2, but it's in my folder. But we're not going there today. We just want to, the Lord dropped this thing in my spirit this morning. I said, Lord, this is that. Okay, I'm going here. Here in chapter 20, verse 4 says, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, there's something that you got to understand. This is also in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. But you must understand that God is prescribed a way for us. He has prescribed a way for us, the believers, to live. It doesn't matter what's going on in the earth. We must have a mindset, the mindset to please him, to live a way that pleases him. This is what God is calling for. Hallelujah. We must have this. God has impregnated us with his presence, with his spirit, so that we can carry his glory to the next generation. We ought to be so filled. I talked to you the other day when Paul was preaching and he was in the upper room. That's the place of prayer, of worship. He was preaching in the upper room.
And Tabitha fell out the room. Eutychus fell out the room. Excuse me. Eutychus fell out the room and fell down dead on the concrete. All the dirt, whatever. He broke up his stuff. Died. Paul, filled with his spirit, went down and laid on him. Tell him, first I could see all the people looking at Paul and saying, look, man, you crazy. How you can say this boy is dead? He not even moving. Toes not moving. Fingers not moving. Eyes not, they not shrinking. Nothing moving. You said his spirit, his life is still in him. See, when you be having an encounter with Christ, everything that Christ has, you receive. Until we get in an encounter with him, we are just walking around empty vessels. I know somebody don't want to hear that. But until we get an encounter with Christ, we are just empty vessels, making a lot of noise. We have to have an encounter with Christ Jesus. You hear me? You and I, we have to have an encounter with him. How do you get an encounter with Christ Jesus? I'm glad you asked that question. By submitting to him. Submitting your mind, body, and soul to him. If a wife is not submitted to her husband, she's not going to serve her husband. If a husband is not submitted to his wife, he's not going to serve his wife. Because the submission is both ways. Christ was submitted to the world because he was submitted to his Father. He said, for this very reason I came. Hallelujah. He came and destroyed sin at the cross. We have to be submitted to him if we want this power to flow through us. If we want this anointing to flow through us, we must submit to Christ Jesus first. Then what would happen is we'll begin to see the manifestation of his glory flowing through us. Elijah, Moses, oh, they would submit to God. They were not without sin. Moses killed a man and buried him in sand. David killed people. He committed adultery, even though he was submitted to God. You say, how can you submit instead of fall short? Because, you see, a lot of times we are not fully submitted. We're not partially submitted. We are partially submitted. Because we still want to do the stuff that's going on in the world. I'm telling the truth. And partially submitted is like you're still rebellious. You understand what I'm saying? Because we still want to do some stuff. I was at the church, and the people are going out, standing on the altar, at the altar with white gloves. You know how the deacons and the ushers do? And they got their hand behind their back like this. They're so holy, so pious. And so they take a break to go around behind the building and smoking marijuana. With the white gloves, they put off the white gloves and put it in the box. And so when they finish smoking, they put back the gloves on. Put the little package back inside the pocket back next to their car. God is calling us to all he wants, all of us, all, completely. See, we can't take the mark. They're doing everything to keep you busy. You know, the market, part of the market is this computer, the cell phone. We can't leave home without the cell phone. We can't leave home without the computer. We got to be always on the internet. You know, when I'm on this stuff, I'm in computer. I'm in Bibles. I got about 10 or 12 Bibles, different kind of Bibles, version of Bibles that download on my computer. Now, preacher, I said, where your Bibles? I said, look, I got them all here. I still got a hard copy with me. Because sometimes the computer, you know, devil control the atmosphere. And he'll block out that satellite system. And your computer will go dead. My hard copy will be also. Here he says, look, let's go over here. He talking to the church, you know. Much more to the church all the time. Let's go over. Let me see what book I got up here. Zechariah. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 11. Zechariah chapter 11. I got a book here. Pull up in now. In here. In here, chapter 11. Let's start out. This here is all. He talking about judgment to the church. Judgment to the church, really. And here he says, and he used all of these metaphors, this analogy that God is using here to Israel and to the shepherds, to those that are leaders. In chapter 11, he paints a gloomy picture of death and destruction the narrative of the shepherds of the sheep for slaughter is surrounded by two poetic oracles. The first described the destruction of the natural beauty of the region north of Israel, Lebanon, Bashan, and the fertile Jordan Valley. The closing oracle produces woe on the shepherd who has failed in his duty to protect the flock. These three segments are unified by the continued use of the shepherd imagery. Look here. In chapter 11, he says, "Open your doors, O Lebanon, so that fire will devour your cedars. Wail or make a noise, O Jupiter, for the cedar has fallen." Now, cedar was the cedar tree, or Jupiter's tree, was a massive tree. And they said that the nation that owned these trees was considered mighty or strong or rich, because you can build ships from these cedar trees. You can build furniture, beds, all this stuff you can make from the cedar tree, the oak tree. He says, "Wail, oaks of Bashan, for the impenetrable forest has come down. Listen to the wailing of the shepherds, for their splendor is ruined. Listen to the roar of the young lions, for the thickets of the Jordan are ruined." The shepherds were more concerned about themselves. Oh, you preachers on here, you know what I'm telling you is the truth, and God's saying the truth. You have a lot of preachers. Not all preachers. I heard Minister Jones say that yesterday. Not all preachers are corrupt. Not all preachers are doing things that are unseemly. But you have a lot of them that are more focused on themselves. Me, my four, no more. They're focusing on materialistic things when God wants us to win souls. This is what he called us to do, to win souls. Hallelujah. So the basic message is one of judgment on the people and on the leaders for rejecting God. In the central narrative, God orders the prophet to become shepherd of the sheep for slaughter. His service appears to symbolize God's relationship with Israel through the prophets. They attempt to lead the people back to God, but the people persist in their obstinate rebellion until both prophet and God are frustrated. Now, you know that today you can't tell the people what to do. They come to church when they feel like, when they want to. You say, "Well, we're going to open the doors at 11:30, 10:30, 12 o'clock. If you tell them 10 o'clock, they can come at 11 or 11:30. If you tell them 11:30, they're going to come at 12:30. When the sermon is almost finished. People are going to do what they want to do because that's their mindset. You can't tell me what to do. You're not my father. You're not my mother. But they forget that they're coming to reverence God in the house, coming to assemble with the other brothers, the other members of the body of Christ. They forget that. Hallelujah. So here he says, "O Lebanon, the mountain region north of the Sea of Galilee, known as or for its cedar trees." Cedar was valuable as a building material in the Mediterranean world. It also was the largest and most majestic of the region's trees. O Jupiter, a type of evergreen fir tree known for its thick foliage. Only the cedar trees are destroyed, the cypress or Jupiter's in some translation, and oaks are called to mourn the loss of the glorious cedar trees. Oaks of Bashan, the oaks, the other prized tree of the region, often were used as symbols of strength and power. The cedar of Lebanon and oak of Bashan are similarly here in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 13. Ezekiel chapter 27, verse 5 and 6. Amos chapter 2, verse 9. Also use cedar and oak to symbolize height and power. Respectively, Bashan is a region of the northern Transjordan, known for its fertility. Micah, verse 7, chapter 7, verse 14. The thickets of the Jordan, the largest and most important river in Canaan. Its headwaters originate in the region of Mount Hermon, and the river flows south to the Dead Sea. The vegetation along the banks of the Jordan River is extremely dense, creating a tropical jungle that contrasts sharply with the surrounding barren terrain and providing a habitat for wildlife, including lions. Jeremiah used similar language to describe the area in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5, Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 19, Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 44. Now the shepherds, the idea of a prophet, Zechariah, as the symbolic representation of his message, is common in prophetic literature. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Hosea and Jonah. Doomed to slaughter refers to the herd of animals kept outside the temple for sacrificial offerings. This image symbolizes that the Israelites are doomed to be conquered by foreign nations. God is speaking to leaders every day, in every way. The leaders have taken advantage of the people instead of caring for them. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 23, Amos chapter 5, verse 11 to 13. God has set us in position to minister to his people. When he called Aaron and Aaron's sons to the priesthood, he told Moses how to make their robes, how to make their garments, and to prepare them to come to minister to him first. We got to have in our mindset, know in our mindset, that we are called to minister to God. If your ministry is not secure in your spirit that you are ministering to God, and you just think that I'm going down there to minister to these 300, 400,000 people that I'm ministering to, you're out of order. You're in a great loss. We ought to go there to that altar knowing that God is right there, and I'm talking to God first. And if I have a mindset to talk to God, what's come out of my belly going to come out pure. It's going to come out pure because I'm ministering to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Here, the shepherds, the leaders have taken advantage of the people instead of caring for them. I'm going to cause humankind to fall, God says, into the hands of his neighbor. A reference to the conquest of the northern kingdom by Assyria and the southern kingdom by Babylon. See, God releases you to your own downfall when we decide that we are going to do what we want to do. Let's go somewhere else quick. I've got a couple more scriptures I want to give you. Let's go over to St. John, let me get in here in the King James Version. St. John, chapter 1, and we are talking about the lukewarm church. Here in chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So something is wrong with the church, that the church has become lukewarm. Because the Bible says that as many as receive him, to them gave he, Jesus, power to become the sons of God. even to them that believe on his name. Is something going on wrong in the church? As they're saying they believe, but they don't really believe. As they say that they came to him, but they have not come. The scale is not balanced. Something is wrong. John 10. John chapter 10. You're over here in St. John already. I've got a few more scriptures I want to give because I got to go. John chapter 10, verse 27. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We have to go back and dissect the scriptures. Are we hearing God's voice? When we are studying the word of God, are we hearing his voice, and are we following him? Who are we following? We got to ask ourselves these questions. Because something is blocking the anointing. Something is stopping the anointing from flowing through us. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. We don't want to operate in a lukewarm fashion. We want to operate with power, and we want to operate with authority. Let's start at verse 29. Luke chapter 22. That's the wrong script. Luke chapter 22. And let's go here. 22. All right. Here he says. Let's start at verse 25. And he said unto them, kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors or owners over them. They are in control. He says, but you shall not be so, but he that is greater among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. See, we got to focus on serving. Jesus himself didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meal or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Oh, my God. Do you hear what Jesus said? Look. You got to see yourself like Jesus. Not the one that's sitting at the table and you have your nice garments on and you are ordering the waiter what to do and what not to do. The one that's serving. Hallelujah. He said, you therefore, which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appointed unto you a kingdom, and as my Father has appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, people of God, we got to know that it's greater waiting for us than what we have here on earth right now. This is why we have to be willing to serve. Allow the power of God to flow through us. Do you hear me? Allow that power to flow through us. What are we waiting for? Go back to John. Go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Oh, Father, help us. Oh, Father, help us, help us, help us, oh, Father. Help us, Father. Help us to see that we are called to serve and that we're not called to impress nobody so they can say we this or we that. No, we come to represent you, Lord, as faithful servants, Lord. Let us allow us to serve, oh, God, as you have served us from the cross, oh, God, even unto death. John 14. Hallelujah. Let's hear what Jesus said. Jesus said Jesus answered and said unto him, verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, Jesus made this thing so plain a little kid can understand. If we find out that if it seems like God is not with us, we got to ask ourselves some questions. Go back in the scripture. Look in the scripture. Are we keeping the word of God? How are you going to know you're keeping the word when you're obedient? If you say that you are a child of God, you are a servant of God, but you're still stealing. And you still fornicating, you still committing adultery, you still lying. You still cussing people out. You're still full of gossip. You're not keeping the word of God. God is not going to abode with you. He's not going to live in, this is what he's saying, he's not going to live, the Father and the Son not going to live inside of you. You hear people say, well, greater is he than me than he that's in the world. But when you look, you don't see no evidence. You don't see the fruit that is in them. Because the way that they're carrying on, the way they're treating people, the way they respond to people, you can say they don't have the Holy Spirit. I mean, everybody, you can say, I have a car, but every time I look around, you're catching a bus. Where's your car? Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm using this analogy. And folks say, I got a brand new car, but they're hitching a ride. I got the Holy Ghost, but no power. Hear what he says. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Lord, let us get the scripture here. We're talking about the lukewarm church. The preacher said they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Matthew chapter 19. Listen to Jesus speaking to us. And he says, verse 28, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. What Jesus is saying? We got to leave everything for him. He's got to be number one on our calendar. Nothing must come before him. Do you hear me? Nothing must come before him. Zechariah tells you clearly. It tells you clearly in chapter 11 and verse 5. He tells you clearly, the ones buying them, kill them and go unpunished. And the ones selling them say, blessed be God, for I have become rich. Their own shepherds have no compassion for them. Look at our nation. Just look at leadership. They have no compassion for the people. All they're concerned about is the millions and the billions that they put in their banks. They got many banks. They got many banks. See, most of us only have one bank account. Some of them have 10 bank accounts, different countries. They're fleecing the body. You got pastors, not like these poor pastors. These pastors on the line here, they're all right. But they're not super rich. They're not rich. They don't have millions. But you have pastors that have millions upon millions. You know some of them too, bishops that have millions. They're not focusing on souls. They're writing books. They're making CDs. They're making music. They're making movies, all this stuff to make money. And they push their chest up that they have arrived. They got it. They got planes. They got yachts. They got house in Hawaii. Maybe it burned. Who knows? They got a house in the Caribbean, in Africa. They said they arrived. This is what God just said here in Zechariah chapter 11. They got it. They make it. They say, I'm rich. But if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, if you're filled with the fire of God, you are rich. Nobody can take that from you. Nobody can say not sufficient funds. They say now they saw some on YouTube. Yeah, they said that the government gonna be holding people money. They give the banks authority to shut your account down. When you go and say, I want to go and withdraw $500, $1,000, they say, well, your funds are not available. And you're going to be mad because you know you got $10,000 in the bank. You know you got $15,000 in the bank. But they say the funds are not available. So the government just about to do this. Is about to do this. It's already all over the place. They say they're rich. Don't put your focus and your hope on your money. Let your hope be on Christ Jesus the Lord. The feeling that he has placed in us is more than gold. When you get up in the morning, you say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for a new day. I thank you for new life. God, I thank you for spearing me, keeping me through the night and bringing me into this new day. This day that I've never seen before. God, there's many that were here last night, but they're no longer here. But I'm still here. I thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord for the day that you have. Because somebody didn't get this day. Somebody, the day bypassed them. Last scripture. Let's go to Jose. Man, we got one more after this. Jose chapter 12. Glory to God. Yeah, we did the Micah too. Micah. Holy Spirit. Jose. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's drop one hand on you. Jose chapter 12. Let's see what we got. Verse 8. And Ephraim said, yet I am become rich and have found me out substance. And in all my labors, they shall find none iniquity in me that were sin. Now watch how this prophet begin to talk. We call him. We got rich when we get rich. I'd use him though. He began to exalt himself. Jose is now talking about him. Ephraim began to exalt himself. Now we as soon as we get some thousands and maybe start looking down on people. We don't even have to get that much. Just be able to keep gas in your car and keep some money, a little overflow in the bank, and you feel you arrived. You're better than somebody that is making that. You look down on the man on the street corner that is begging, the woman that's on the street corner begging, that nasty and dirty. You don't even keep money in your pocket. That when you get to the street light and the people there begging, nasty, filthy, that you would get them $2 or $3. But you say you're the woman of God. You're the man of God. You look down on them. But you got clean clothes. You got your $500 suit on, $1,000 suit on, alligator crocodile shoes on. You look good. You went to the barber shop. Your hair's nice and blocked. Shape up nice. Went to the hairdresser. Had your hair fixed. You got a nice wig on your head. Got your diamond ring, your Rolex watch. You look good. You look the part. But you're not the part. But the part is on the inside. The real part that you ought to be, that we ought to be, are on the inside. You hear what I'm saying? He says, I am rich. I'm become rich and have found me out stuff. I got plenty of stuff. No, they can't find nothing in me. There's no iniquity in me that we're sin. You hear how he tried to judge himself, validate himself? But you know what? There's a lot of people in the house of the Lord that validate themselves. They're not looking at themselves through the word of God. Because if we look at ourselves, if we examine ourselves through the eyes of God, we'll see a lot of mistakes, a lot of things that are wrong with us. We will see a lot of things that are wrong with us. Yes, we teach, we preach, we sing, we dance. But we don't examine ourselves by the eyes of God. I hear we. I say we. That means I'm included. You know, I had these, and I'm looking through my book. I said, Lord, I'm so tired. I'm so tired yesterday. I said, Lord, just let me see something. And the Lord showed me this, the lukewarm church. And you know what he just showed me? And I just flipped my page and just jumped off the page. In the scripture, she showed me here, living with an unforgiving heart. Here, we teach that too. Here, let's go to Matthew chapter 5. This is the very last scripture. And we are finished. I know people are going to be jumping off. But this is the last scripture. And I have done what the Lord called me to do today. I'm going to relax for a minute. Then I got to go and put a garbage disposal in for these people and come back home. So Matthew chapter 5, this is the last scripture that we're going to put in. And we got the timing, though. We got the timing. Matthew chapter 5, and hear what Jesus says. This is one of the most powerful words in this Sermon on the Mount, Beatitudes. He started this thing so powerful. And, you know, I've never seen this here till this morning. And how many times I've been through this that it never really jumped off the page to me. And this morning, it really, really, and this is what it's in my notes. It's in my scriptures written down. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs, listen to what he says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Man, you can stop right there. He's talking about humility. Humility. It's one of the hardest things for people to do, to become humble. When that, soon as somebody say what we think they shouldn't say, we get bent out of shape. We jump off the wall. But we say, they say, well, don't call me to jump off. Don't call me to jump off. You don't want to see me jump off, boy. And I hear one lady says, I'm going to give you a piece of my heart. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. You better watch what you say to me, because I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. But they say they're saved. They're sanctified. Jesus let them spit on him. Listen to me. Jesus allowed them to kick him, spit on him, slap him. Listen to me. All Lord led them to do this. We can't let people can't say two words about us. That we can't fellowship with them anymore. We can't talk to them. We seen it live on Blog Talk Radio. I'm telling you something true. We seen it here live. We seen it live on Blog Talk Radio. Folk, we get bent over left, bent over in a second. Because all they have is a mind to critique. I like that. They have got a mind to critique and judge you. But I tell you something, to have the mind of Christ. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word that you have given us. We pray, O God, that as we have released this word today, that and the word going out in the atmosphere, we know Satan wants to steal it. He wants to stop us, O God, from doing what thus says the Lord. And he wants to stop people from receiving what thus says the Lord. But, Father, we declare and decree today in the name of Jesus
that as this word went forth, that it shall not return void, but it shall do what it's sent out to do today, and that many people would hear it, and many people will be convicted by this word today, Lord God. Leaders all over the world, Father God, they will not hear David, but they would hear you speaking through me, Father, because I submit my heart to you. I submit my tongue to you, my ears and my eyes, every time, every day, every moment of the day, I submit to you. Lord, I ask you to use this word to draw people to you, Lord. Use it to draw people to you. Lord, and praising God for you all today. I want you all to know that regardless of if you respond or don't respond, that we appreciate you. We know that there's a lot of people. You know, I see what you all don't see. You know, that go on Messenger and they go on Facebook and they download the sermons off the Facebook so they can listen. We have new people that are there on their job, but they make sure they get the word. They got the word, and they are downloading the word to listen to it. And it's giving them life, because when you preach and teach the word of God, you're going to give people life. You're going to give them life, because that's what the word does. The word gives life. So you're preaching with the Spirit. You know, you're preaching with the Spirit. People are going to get life. You know, you know, wrong. Jesus said so. He said, the letter killer. Paul wrote, the letter killeth, but the Spirit give life. So you have to know that when you're speaking in the Spirit, people are going to get life. People are going to get life, and they're going to rejuvenate. Everything about them going to come alive so they can be what God called them to be. So just keep on doing what you're doing. Pray for me as I pray for you. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for those that came on here today. We pray for the apostle. We pray for the minister Jones and Brother Deacon Fraser. We just thank God for them as they came on here to hear this awesome word that you have put in my heart this morning to put on the radio. And Lord, we pray that many would hear it and many would be changed by what they heard today, Lord God. Father, we pray for those that are not saved, that are not sanctified, those that have not received Jesus as Lord and Savior. We pray for them right now, oh God. We pray for that one that don't know Jesus, that they might surrender today to him, surrender to the word, surrender to the Spirit, and ask Jesus to enter into their heart today, Lord God. We pray, Father God, for this to come upon them, that this anointing will come upon them, and even as they are out there doing what makes them feel good, because, you know, this is what people do. People do what make them feel good. If it feels good to them, they do it. We ask, God, that you extend your mercy and your grace to them today. And, Lord, allow them to hear your voice today. Speak through your word. Speak through by the Spirit. Allow them to hear what you are saying to them through this word. Allow them to know that if they're going to become the church, they have to be either hot or cold. Oh, God, they got to be the men and women that you call them to be. And, Father, we be careful to give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the first thing you need to do today is you need to repent. That's the first thing you need to do. You need to repent for your sin. And repentance just means that you need to start turning away from your sinful lifestyle. All of us were living in sin, full-blown sin. We still have the sin characteristic. We still have the sin nature in the flesh. Paul says, in this flesh dwells no good thing. So we still have this sin nature. It's there. It's right there. And truth be told, you and I, that this sin nature always wants to show up its head. It is sin. And it always going to try to raise its ugly head because it wants us to be obedient to it. Sin wants us to do what it wants us to do. But you have to remember who you are, that you are a child of God, that you have been called by God, you have been washed in his blood, and that you must live to live to please him. You must live a life to please him. So this is why you have to repent. You want to get into that mindset where you are turned away from sinning and turn to the leading of Christ Jesus. Turn to the leading of Christ Jesus. So as you turn to him, what happened is that he released his love, his compassion, his mercy is released to you to draw you closer, to draw you closer to him. Hallelujah, glory to God, because he said no one can come to him except he draw them. So he released that drawing anointing will draw you closer. Hallelujah. And as you get closer to him, things start to happen. Your life starts to change. Hallelujah. It's not right where you want to be. None of us are where we want to be. But thank God we are not where we used to be. But your life starts to change as you submit and commit to Christ Jesus, as you turn your life over to him. And we ask that today you repent and that you denounce Satan. Denounce Satan, all of his command that he had over your life, denounce him. You know he had some commands on you because he had a lot on me. I remember the things that he used to have me doing and the place he used to have me going. Thank God I don't have to go to those places anymore because I have a new boss now. My boss is Jesus. And what he said do, I try my best to do them. I don't get all the time. All the time I don't get everything he said do done. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't get everything all the time done, but I try my best to get as much as I can get done. And the times that I can't get, I say, Lord, help me in this area of my life that is fighting me. Help me to get strong in this area that I can be the man that you want me to be in that area. You know, and he strengthened me in that area. And then there's another way area will show up. Then I got to ask him, come to him, and say, Lord, help me in this other area. He has shown me, and he'll help me in that other area. And as soon as you get fixed in that area, you come in that area. But if you don't know Jesus today as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. A-double-L. That means all of us, you, me, all of us that is here on this earth realm have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Remember that none of us are perfect. Your preacher may preach so powerful, sound doctrine, but that don't mean the preacher is perfect. The preacher is not perfect. The preacher is still working towards perfection by obeying God, trying his utmost best, her utmost best to obey God. Because guess what? Even as we teach and preach, Satan is tempting us, setting out temptations right away. Let's stop him. Let's stop her right away. He is trying to stop us because we declare that we belong to God and God belongs to us. If you don't know Jesus, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Bible also says the wages of sin is death. Wages of sin is death. If you continue to live in sin, you will die spiritually. You will die spiritually. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11 says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scriptures say, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Understand this. When you know that you know that you know, my pastor says, when you know that you know that you know that you are in Christ Jesus, you don't have to worry about what nobody is saying. It doesn't matter. Your concern is what does God say about me? What is God saying about me? Am I living the life that pleasing God? And if I'm not, I said, God, help me in this area. Every one of us know where we come up short. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men where everybody must be saved. This Jesus Christ is the only name that can save a wretch like me or you. When we come to him with open heart, heart needs to be open, inviting him to come into your heart, turn away from sin. And sometimes turn away from sin may mean that you got to
let go of some friends, some family, some co-workers, and some associates. You got to let them go. Get out there. Get away from them. Even some family members. You know, I have some family members that they're not where I am, and we don't get along like that. I can see it in their face. I hear it in their voice, so I don't even socialize with them. I don't have no need for them. I'm praying for them, just like some friends I have. I don't be with them, but I'm praying for them. I have people in my country, the country that I was grew up in. I'm praying for them. Friends that did, I'm praying for them. We're not together. I'm praying for them. You know, because guess what? If you want to walk with Christ, you're going to have to be willing to deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow him. See, this stuff going to happen. I mean, he said you got to deny your father, your mother, your sister, brother, wife, brother. Man, everything that would keep you away from him, you have to deny. He ain't tell we hate them. But you got to deny. You got to deny. You can't fellowship with some people, but you still got to love them. And the prayer that you pray might draw them in. So if you don't know Jesus, my friend, I ask you to just right here where you are, say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I know I have lived my life contrary to your word, to your commands. But today I'm convicted in my heart that I need to be saved. Because tomorrow is not promised to me. I don't know if even if it's tonight, I would live to see this evening or tonight. But at this moment that I have in time, Lord, I am denouncing Satan and all his agents and all the world system, all that it stands for. And I come to you with open heart, with a heart of repentance. Asking you, Jesus, according to your word, to forgive my sins, according to 1 John 1:9. Forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. For the Bible says that you are faithful and just to forgive all my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I ask you today to enter my heart. Take complete control of my life. Jesus, I accept you now in the work, the finished work of the cross. I believe that you were crucified on that cross, that you were pierced, nailed, and crowned with thorns, and that you flowed water out of your body, water and blood flowed out to wash and cleanse me. I believe that you were buried in a borrowed tomb and that you raised up, God raised you up on the third day. I believe this in my heart and I'm confessing with my mouth. Jesus, I ask you today to have mercy on my soul. Set my soul free from the pit of hell. Give me access. Allow me to have access to the tree of life. Allow me to come to the fountain and drink freely, Lord. I ask you today to wash me in your blood. Wash me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. I know I will be clean. Save me and I know I'll be saved, Jesus. Lord, I cry out from the depths of my heart today for that one that hear this prayer and rededicate their life, that one that heard this prayer and surrender their life. I pray, oh God, that you dispatch your angels now, our angel Gabriel and Michael and Raphael, the chief warriors of heaven, to go with them to help them to walk the walk. Protect them while they're on this Christian journey, oh God. Father, open their wisdom eye and their wisdom ear to hear and see and receive more of you, oh God. Strengthen them in their walk. And protect them against the evil one. In Jesus' holy name, you receive that word. You have just received the gift of salvation. And I recommend that you get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts. You may want to start at Genesis to Revelation, but we recommend you start with these five books. And get an understanding of Jesus Christ, his teaching, and the apostles, they all teach the same thing. They teach what Jesus taught them to teach. Get an understanding and invite the Holy Spirit, because the Bible said that when you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We told you the scripture, Acts 2:38.
not only for you, but for your family and those that are far off, everybody that's connected to you will be drawn to the light that you'll be carrying. That light will draw, and either going to draw them or they're going to cause them to back off. But you let your light shine and call up a pastor, preacher, teacher that know how to baptize in Jesus' name, come to Acts 2:38, and tell them that you received the gift of salvation. You want to be baptized. Why? Because this is part of salvation, according to Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, 18. It's part of your salvation. Baptism is. Some people might try to tell you, well, the thief on the cross, but don't worry about that. People going to always come up with stuff to try to hinder you. That was a different dispensation. We are in a different dispensation. We need to be baptized. And before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, co-workers, and even your enemies. Why? Because you want them to be witnesses. You want witnesses. This is the greatest time of your life. This is where you're coming out of darkness into the marvelous light of Christ Jesus. You have given your life to him. No longer will you be walking in darkness, but you'll be walking in the light of God himself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when you're going down that water, we call it the liquid grave, you are declaring to people that you're leaving everything. Everything that kept you in bondage, everything that kept you blocked out from Christ Jesus, you leaving that sin in that grave. You're coming up now out of there in the righteousness of who Christ said you are. Glory to God. Find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel, my friend, and get yourself involved in ministry. Hallelujah. Everybody's not going to be a preacher. Some people got to be the armor bearer. Some got to be the ones that follow the preacher. The preacher got to have somebody to preach with. Everybody can't be the preacher, but everybody can be a reconciler. You can use the same anointing that reconciles you to reconcile somebody. Show the light that's in your life to so somebody can come out of darkness. That's all it says. So your testimony, share that testimony that God has given you, how he brought you out. That's your sermon. Hallelujah. And you can share that anytime you go. Let me just tell you what God has done for me when I was in this place or that place. And I know if he did this for me, I know when he did this for me, and I know he did it, he can do the same for you. Whatever you're dealing with, people will get saved. Just share your testimony. I thank God for you all that received the gift of salvation. Those that will rededicate their lives with the same prayer and enter back into the light of God and allow God to lead and guide all of us. Hallelujah. We all are still at the crossroad of that strong decision where the enemy want us to slide backwards or slide sideways. We are always there, always there. And Paul tell you that every time he wants to do right, evil is always present. When he want to do good, wrong is always there. So don't believe that he's left leaving you. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus went and fasted 40 days and 40 nights. As soon as he finished fasting, who showed up? Satan. You don't think Satan ain't going to show up. As soon as you finish preaching and teaching, that joker shows right up, and he will test you. He will test you to see if what you just preach about, if you can stand, if you are really that person that you just preach about. Hallelujah. Somebody would test you. Sometimes it's your wife. Sometimes it's your husband. Sometimes it's your son or daughter. Sometimes it's your some kinfolk, some good friend that would test you. See if you can stand. Can you stand when the test is, when the trial comes? We are in the time of trials and tribulation. God wants everyone to sound the trumpet. Sound the trumpet loud. Preach against sin. Love the sinner, but preach against sin. Because some people think, you know, when Paul was abusing the church, he thought he was helping God. Until he had an encounter with Christ Jesus. You know, some of these folks think that, this is my life. And God give me this life so I can live the life. As long as I'm living and I'm happy, God is happy. They're saying that stuff. You hear some folks say that stuff. As long as I'm happy, God is happy, because God wants me to be happy. And they're living in sin. And they believe God's in cahoots for that stuff. No, that's a life on the pit of hell. Don't believe that stuff. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, my pastor told me that before he died years ago. He told me that. If it's not in the word of God, don't you believe it. Don't you believe it. If you're doing something and it's not in the word of God, you better stop, because it may be too late for you. God bless you all. I love you all with the love of Christ. Thank you all for coming on today. As Prophetess Cheryl was on for 2 minutes, but we thank God for her minutes that she shared with us. We just thank God for you all. We thank God for you all coming on and hearing the word of God. This is what God wanted us to hear today as people of God, as children of God. We can't be lukewarm. We're either going to be hot or cold. If we are neither one of the two, he will spew us out of his mouth. Holy Ghost, help us. The line is open. I am finished. Thank you so much for listening to me.
The word was awesome. Very powerful. Very good. I enjoy every bit of it. Lord have mercy. Amen. For the good word, I enjoy it every day. Hear the word you're talking about. Lukewarm, man. That you better be hot or cold. A lukewarm. But your spirit's out of his mouth. You're just in time now where, you know, they're teaching in these false churches people how to be double-minded. They live lukewarm with this. And make people think that God himself did it. That's the time we live in. And we live in people don't want to accept truth. And they go to those churches that tell them they can still go to the club on the weekend. And be, like I was saying yesterday, and then be in church and saying kumbaya. And then still be saved. And that's you got pastors and got clubs. In their churches now. Some of them got balls in churches now. And they really think that, you know, that it's okay, but they're not reading the word. When Romans 12, when I say, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, be you transformed by renewing of your mind. They take a renewed mind to realize that you lukewarm, that you can get in a place. And when you get a place with God, when you'll be whole. That's why every day you got to ask God to make you whole. So you can live right. You won't be in a lukewarm state or be straddling the fence. You know, God don't want us to straddle the fence. You know, that's why I say there's no condemnation for them who are Christ Jesus who walk not out of the flesh, but not out of the flesh, but out of the spirit. You need the Holy Ghost to help you so you won't make those bad choices and do those things that will cause you to be lukewarm and do what God has taught you to do. I enjoy every bit of it. You know, I'm in the middle of traffic. I thank God for a powerful word, so powerful. I enjoy it every time I come on here. And I pray that God continue to anoint you and continue to pour his word and power in you. But every time I hear you, it helps me. It helps me to look at myself and examine myself as a man of God. So I thank God for you. Have a blessed day. Love you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Jones. We just ask God to keep you safe and secure while you're out there on the highway. And God continue to lead you and make the impossible possible for you in everything that you do. Hallelujah. That God be in the mix. I know you're not going to do nothing that God is not in it, but I pray that he be in the mix, all the thing that you do, everywhere that you go, that he go before you. That is my prayer. Hallelujah, that God would lead you. Always be leading you. Always be protecting you. Hallelujah. Pray for me, my friend, my brother in Christ, as I pray for you all the time, for your safety on the highway. Pay attention to the highway and be safe, okay? God bless you. God bless you. The line is open.
Praise the Lord, Apostle. This is Apostle Stewart. Want to say that I enjoyed the word as well. Praise God as always. Praise God, a powerful and anointed word. I'm telling you, praise God. I know that everybody, every time they come on, they get something out of the word because you're always, ministering the word of God as one that have authority and not as one of the scribes. Pray that God bless Minister Jones as well and protect him on that highway and also protect my sons who are also truck drivers, that God go before them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Apostle, you said so much, Apostle County. You said so many things. I tell you, I enjoyed the part where you spoke about that Jezebel spirit, how that you spoke about Jezebel spirit. And, you know, the Bible talks about that and how that Jezebel was actually thrown out of a third-story window by two eunuchs who was actually her servants, but who turned against her when the call of Jehu, commanded them to throw her down. And she was destroyed and she was killed in the book of Kings. And yet people think that Jezebel is alive today somewhat. But it's not that Jezebel is alive, but that spirit is still going forward. That spirit of witchcraft, that spirit of rebelliousness, that spirit of deception. And as you said, that spirit of Jezebel could be in a man or a woman, even though the Bible says that woman, Jezebel. But you got men that think that they're women. They really, really think that they're women. They think that they're more woman than a woman because the devil has got them deceived. They got women that think they're more man than a man because the devil got them deceived. And so time is winding down. That spirit of homosexuality just looked like it's raising up its ugly head, just taking over, looked like everywhere. Throughout politics, the politicians, in a debate some years ago, one homosexual, after the debate was over, when the spouses come up and, on the stage with them, on television in front of the world, this homosexual wife had been married this other homosexual, another man, but one was called the wife, but it was two men. Well, that's an abomination in the eyes of God. Well, it's starting to happen all in politics. It's been happening because, from what I can understand, Caesar was a homosexual, and King James was a homosexual. A lot of people think he wrote the Bible. He didn't write the Bible. He authorized the translation of the Bible, but he didn't write the Bible. Holy men of God wrote the scriptures as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And so, as I said, Apostle, I enjoy the word every time you come on and minister it. I'm going to get back in touch with my son again. I heard you say earlier I was on the road at the time. I was on my wife's phone listening. Then I came home and got on my phone and listened from at home. And that message didn't come through. Maybe you check your phone again and check and see again if it came through. His phone number, the first numbers of his phone number is 504-6638. That's the first six numbers, 504-638. So if you look for that number, maybe you see where you could pull it up at. And, let me know. And it may have been where when my wife sent the number to him, she might have sent one number off. So when he sent it to you, he may have been one number off, and it didn't get to you. I don't know. But, let me know, Apostle, and I'm going to try to get him to send it again, We have a revival coming up this Sunday with Evangelist Gary Kohler. That's going to be with us this Sunday, and I'm sure that's going to be anointed and powerful. He's a very, very seasoned evangelist. I'm looking forward to what God give him to give to us Sunday, and we're expecting to have a wonderful time. But I enjoy myself every time I come on Block Talk. Block Talk ain't no joke, I'm telling you. It ain't no joke. Everything come forth on this line. I'm telling you, it's like thundering and lightning, and I say that because it's God's word. It's God's word, and there's one place in the Bible that talks about God's word being like thunder. You understand? Glory to God, and I give God the glory. So just want to say those few words. Big God bless you to Minister Jones, who's out there listening every day, as well as others who are listening in, and I would encourage others to come on and comment. I would come in and comment more often, but Apostle, my situation. So I comes in every time, something would jump off the pages to me. I'll come in and have something to say. Other than that, I'm basically listening because I'm not in a position where I could write nothing down. When you write down a little bit, you can take a few little notes. And when you take them notes, you can really come back and comment on a lot of things. But so much be said. I'm telling you, you have to just grab a little bit of what's said and comment on that, because you won't remember everything to comment on, because, you know, you say so much. You know, it's a blessing. And I know everybody's just being blessed. So anyway, big God bless you, Apostle Calendar, and basically that's it, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Apostle Stewart. I'll get back in touch with you when I go back and check my phone. I got to go and install this garbage disposal for this guy. And I will check. I'll call you back later and let you know if I got it. But either way, I would appreciate it if you could send it to me again. Because if I get it two times, that'd be fine. I'll check the phone again, see if it's in there. All right?
Okay, I'll do that.
All right. Thank you, all. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for the apostle. We thank you, O God, for the revival that's about to take place on Sunday. God, we know that you have already ordained and approved and appointed what will be said. Lord, we know that many will be saved and sanctified and declared holy in the service, God. There will be such a strong anointing. God, we declare it. We call it out right now. Father God, we ask, oh God, that there be one spirit, one Lord, oh God, and the revival be for God and God alone. Oh, Father, we just ask, Lord God, that new people come to the service, oh God. Bring in new people to hear the word, oh God. Yes, Lord, the people that are already there, they know the word. But bring in some new people, oh God, that they would, oh God, would be revived, oh God. And Father, we will be so careful to give you all the glory and all the honor. Father, now we ask your blessing to bless us in the city, bless us in the field. Bless us when we come and bless us when we go. Father, continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath. Lord, make us the lenders and not the borrowers. Father, we are asking for the blessings, not so that we can be braggadocious or push our chest up like we arrive and we got the money, we rich, but so that we can be helpers to those that are less fortunate than us, O God, and that you would get all the glory, Father God, because we know it's you that bless us so that we can be a blessing, O God. We ask you to continue to bless Prophetess Kershi, O God, as she'll be on the highway. Lord, where she's driving, going places to work. Lord God, we ask you to bless her. Bless her animals. God, bless her sheep and her goat and her and the dogs and the chickens. Lord, bless everything that she does, Lord. We ask for protection from Pastor Joyce. Oh, God, bless her while she's out there going to minister the word of God. If she's going to the grocery store, God, bless her. Wherever she's going, Lord, we ask your protection, Lord, because we know that we are living in dangerous, perilous times, oh, God. We ask you to protect the men and women of God that call you Lord, that call you Savior, that call you Redeemer, that call you soon coming King, Lord. We ask you to protect Brother Deacon Frazier, oh, God. We ask you to protect his mother, his father, his uncles, his sister, all that is concerned him, Lord. We ask you, Father, to call God, never let him go lacking, oh, God. Let him not lack anything, Lord. Open his wisdom eyes and his wisdom ears that he might hear and see and receive from you, God. God, we ask for a supernatural protection over Minister Jones' wife, Lord God. If she comes in from time to time while she's on the job, she just listens. She's not able to respond, but she listened to the word of God. We ask you, O God, to keep her as the apple of your eye, Lord. God, protect her against everything seen and unseen. And God, protect Minister Jones while he's on there on the highway, Lord. Below, we know the highways can sometimes be so treacherous, Lord God. We ask you to protect this man of God and shield him, oh God, from every trick of the enemy, God. Even when he goes to the truck stop, we know there's all types of demons at this truck stop. But, Lord God, not one will be able to come near him, Lord. We pray this for him and for this church, Lord, the church that you have given us to be the shepherd over here in Boston, Lord God. We ask you, God, I see you're drawing more people, Lord. But, Lord, continue to draw people that they hear us. And they're worshiping, oh God, and following the music. Oh, we don't have a praise team yet, but we have the music, and we turn on the worship music, playing the computer through the system, through the PA system. And, Lord, we fill the sanctuary, Lord. Let more people come in. Let them come in, God, to hear your word, because all we're doing is your word, oh God. And let them come to get salvation, oh God. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, may as we leave this line, but never your presence, oh God, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is the love of God, and that the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you speak in somebody's ear gate today that will make all the difference in their lives. It may stop someone from committing suicide, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even break into someone's home and commit some heinous crime. Jesus said in this word, Matthew chapter 5:16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Just let your light shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. You have patience. You have long-suffering. You have a forgiving spirit. You have a spirit of mercy and grace. Oh, God, love coming out of you, flowing out like the perspiration out of your pores. People can feel it when love is flowing out of you, when that you got that spirit that people even seeing all type of stuff, but we still have peace. We still have joy because the joy of the Lord is our strength. People will see that we belong to God, and they will glorify God. I love you guys so much, and thank you all for responding today and, as always, for your presence. Know we love you, but God loves you more. I hope to see you all on tomorrow. We'll be back here at 12 o'clock tomorrow if the Lord stay the same. Doing what thus says the Lord. God bless you all. Pray my strength in the Lord as I continue to pray you all strength in the Lord. God bless you. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.